Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. And we also know, believe, and live out the three commands that Jesus has given the church to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that life, we find the fullness of God's word from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. For as we obey these three commands, as Jesus has taught us, the first two sum up all the prophets and the law. And all of God's word is contained therein from beginning to end. And that is what we go with, is the truth and the word of God, being Christian in our life. Today, we're going to continue that walk, and we're going to tie some things together here, looking from the Old Testament to the New Testament, because there are a lot of folks out there in Christendom that believe, well, the Old Testament, that was wonderful, but it really doesn't pertain to us today because we're New Testament saints, and you know, we live by the New Testament. Well, the Old Testament tells us what the New Testament is going to tell us. How many of you have actually realized that? That the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of things yet to come, but yet it is also things that already were and are very real. And yet in those things, we see a truth unto the future that is yet to be. And that is the book of Obadiah. Obadiah is the fourth shortest book in the Bible. It's the longest one to date as number four. It actually has 21 verses in it. So I'd ask you to turn there to the book of Obadiah, and it's where we're going to be today. And we're going to look at this message that came to this prophet a long time ago, and we're going to see how, yes, this actually had its working out back in the day of Obadiah between Edom and Israel. But it is also a foreshadowing of what is yet to come into the future for all of us and how it falls into that line of thought. So from the first verse of the book of Obadiah, we read these words. The vision of Obadiah, thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and an envoy has been sent among the nations, saying, arise, and let us go against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You are greatly despised. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the cliffs of the rock, in the loftiness of your dwelling place, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to earth? Though you build high like the eagle, though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If thieves came to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be ruined. Would they not steal only until they had enough? If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave some gleanings? Oh, Esau will be ransacked, and his hidden treasures searched. As I think of these words and I look at what's going on here, who is Edom to Israel? Edom to Israel is her brother. Edom was Esau's kingdom. Israel was Jacob's kingdom. So we have to understand, this is two brothers. This is their family. This is a family quarrel going on. Anybody understand family quarrels? Okay. It's understanding that in this time, Edom was actually coming against Israel as the nations were coming against Israel, when Edom should have come to the defense of her brother. Even though they were not the chosen people, they still received benefit from living next to Israel, and they should have made an alignment with them to help protect Israel. But they didn't. Edom came against her brother. And when I think about, well, what does this have to do with us today? I can take this in several different directions. However, I'm going to stick as closely as I can to where the Lord has led me with what's going on. Because this, all of the Obadiah here literally translates into the book of Revelation. Because it's a foreshadowing of the book of Revelation and some of the things that are going to be happening. So how does this tie into us today? Well, I want you to think about this. How much has the world been blessed through the body of Christ Jesus? And are we not one people? I think it's amazing because how many of us think that, oh, no, we're all different nations. Yeah, we are, but where are we all from? Don't forget who you are. There was only two people that started this whole thing. Two. So we are descendants. All of us are brothers and sisters. I don't care what your race is. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care anything about your ethnicity of any form whatsoever. Because the reality is we have to look at the truth. And what does the truth tell us? That God created us all in his image. Can I get an amen out of the church? And that is something that we need to understand. And when we look at the division in our world today, politically, sociopolitically, which is even worse than the politics, and we look at it divided on race and all the different types of division that there are out there, I just cannot believe. I mean, you know, most of us here in the United States, we think, oh, well, you know, it's just a left and a right thing or a conservative and a liberal thing or a no. It's good against evil. We are one peoples, okay? We are human. I can take a part out of me and put it in you, all right? Now, it wouldn't do me much good to do that because without that part, it'd probably kill me. But you understand what I'm talking about, all right? We all have a beginning, and it's not forgetting your beginning. And God calls us to that. And I think it's amazing because look how we have been divided in this world. Look how we have been separated in this world. And it says here that, you know, they live in the cliffs and the dwelling place is high and lofty. So now I need to break it down. Who are we talking about? Well, this also goes into the book of Hebrews. Because in the book of Hebrews, we understand that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against what? Powers and principalities. Where do powers and principalities live? In high and lofty places. Okay, I want you to think about the elites in our world and how much they control our world towards their own good while putting us down, but yet saying, oh, we're doing this for your good. I want you to think about that. You know, they live in their ivory palaces. They live beyond the reach of the law. How many of us understand that? How much of our government, just the United States, is actually breaking the Constitution of the United States? And if you are in any type of an intelligent, educated person, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So they live in high and lofty places. They think they're untouchable. But there is one who is higher and loftier than these, and they shall answer in accord. And that is throughout the world. This is all over the world. This isn't just the United States. Because all mankind has been blessed through the kingdom now. They were blessed through Israel. We are now engrafted into Israel and we're called the kingdom. And God pours out the rain on the just and the unjust. And that division, when the destruction comes upon the kingdom, do you think they're going to get away from the destruction that's going to come upon them? And this is one of the things that I want us to understand. Yes, we've been persecuted throughout the world. Look at the number of churches, the number of people who have died. And I think this is amazing, and I don't know if you've ever learned about this, but in the last 100 years, we have had more martyrs in the last 100 years than in all of Christendom to the time of Christ. How many of you know that? Yeah, if you're following, and I am grateful that you know that, but that's a horrible thing to understand, isn't it? In the last 100 years, we have had more martyrs of Christ than since Christ. That's the world we live in, and it's getting worse, and we're told it's going to get worse yet. So as these things come and this world comes against the chosen ones, the world is going to reap a whirlwind that it knows not yet, but it is coming. And it's understanding that we have an obligation in that message that we need to bring. And that message is the one of deliverance through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Because without Christ, there is no hope. But in Christ, we are to be doing all we can to teach people to love God, love others, and go. And it's going to be hard when the world is coming against you. How easy is it to turn around and love your enemies? It's extremely difficult, but it's what God calls us to do, and it's the most beneficial way to live your life because you truly get to live it with abundance. You know, the things that tear this world down, I mean, you know, I think about it, the things that tear this world down, it speaks here about the robbing that's going to be going on. Oh, that they only took what they needed. When something is taken from you, how much do they take? All of it they can get. Can I get an amen? And we need to remember, what's God saying? You don't understand. You think you have life. That's what you're going to give up. That's the very thing. You don't. There will be nothing left. Nothing. Because when God comes and he brings about the judgments, let's see what he says from verse 7. Well, I'm going to go back to 6 and start from there again. Oh, Esau will be ransacked and his hidden treasures searched out. All the men allied with you will send you forth to the border, and the men at peace with you will deceive you and overpower you. They who eat your bread will set an ambush for you. I think this is one of the most amazing pieces in here because it says that their treasures are going to be searched out. In other words, all the iniquities are going to be coming out. Remember, what they call treasures, we call darkness. You know, how much of this stuff is coming out? How many of you understand the Epstein files? And we still don't know who these people are, and they're running around free, having done horrendous things to children. The church should be in an uproar over this. Oh, but you know, we can't put the names out there because we don't want the victims to be. Whoa. Do you think the victims don't want the people who came against them to pay their price? Well, you and I both know it doesn't matter what we want, because in the end, God gets what he wants. And he is going to bring about that victory. There will be vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So that's where I rest. Because when God brings out his, oh, is he going to bring it out? But they're going to get something in the meantime. Because even those who align with them, they are going to find that their very friends will come against them. That is the book of Revelation. Did you ever realize that? That's when they're talking about Babylon. And we're going to go there in just a little bit. Because Babylon the Great and all these merchants that have dined with her, they literally come against her at that very end. And then they themselves are destroyed. And it just so amazes me because this ties right in to where God is leading us in the end times. And this was happening to Israel. And he said, you don't understand, because the things that have been will be again. There is nothing new under the sun. Almost all prophecy is Germanic, having its final end in Christ at the end. And that's where we're running into. That's where we're going. And that's the life that we're seeing around us. That's why things are so difficult in life right now. Because how many of us are seeing all the stuff that is coming against all the good that wants to come out? Seems to be oppressed. What was once good is now evil, and what was evil is now good and celebrated. And I think it's horrible because, brothers and sisters, if we understood who we are and the fact that we are brothers and sisters, how much of our prejudices and all those other things would wash away? How much do you think the love of God would pour out upon this world? If we would simply understand that there is one God And he has created us in his image that we would live with him forever. But because of evil in our world and lies and deceit, which is what started it all in the garden, our world is divided. And I think it's strange because the first divide, who did it come against? Good and evil. Good and evil. Because Satan had man sin against God. Good and evil. That's all there is. And we get to choose a side. May we choose wisely. From verse 8. Will I not on that day, declares the Lord, destroy wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountain of Esau? When your mighty men will be dismayed, O Teman, so that everyone may be cut off from the mountain of Esau by slaughter. Because of violence to your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame. You will be cut off forever. On that day you stood aloof. On that day that strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gate and cast lots for Jerusalem, you too were as one of them. Do not gloat over your brother's day. The day is misfortune. And do not rejoice over the sons of Judah in the day of their destruction. Yes, do not boast in the day of their distress. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their disaster. Yes, you do not gloat over their calamity in the day of their disaster, and do not loot their wealth in the day of their disaster. Do not stand at the fork of the road to cut down their fugitives, and do not imprison their survivors in the day of their distress. Isn't that what the world does? When we're down, what does it do? It kicks us a whole lot harder, doesn't it? And the further they kick us down, the harder they kick us. We're seeing it in the world, and God is giving them a warning. Don't be this way. Don't do these things. Edom was coming after Jerusalem and simply having hands off. And then as Israel was fleeing, they were picking them off. And that is exactly what's happening in our world today. You know, one of the things that I hate about our system is the fact that our system, once you are in it, just kicks you to the point where you can't get out of it. How many of you have ever noticed that? You know, I think we have a wonderful system, but it is so full of flaws now because of all the overreach that is happening within our government, because we are reactive. Have you ever noticed that? When we have something happen, rather than going after the cause, we do everything to keep everybody else confined. We don't go after the criminal, we go after all the good people, and we say, well, we're gonna make it harder on all of you, but we're not gonna penalize the person who's done it. In fact, in some states like California, they don't even go to jail, they get left off. And this is happening throughout our world. This is not just the United States. Please, I don't want you to hear me saying this in just the United States. Because as evil men do evil things, those evil people that do those things, they get off. And those of us who have to come under that stuff, we're the ones that don't get away. We're the victims who get no recompense. And we're seeing it in the world. And God has told us it's going to come. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Is that not the word of Jesus Christ? Take heart, I have overcome the world. We're gonna suffer many things. In fact, I love it, and you all have heard me say it in the past. You know, Jesus, he has a wonderful sense of humor. He says, though you suffer light and momentary troubles, because you see, he's not looking at the 80 years that we get here. He's looking at all eternity. And when we're with him, we're gonna look back and say, yeah, that really wasn't that bad, was it? He says, no, not according to the cross of Calvary, because we all need to remember that was a death that none of us could die, because that was a death of all of us placed upon him. That was Jesus taking all our sins, the eternal Son being separated from the eternal Father for the first time ever and only. That's why Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because for the first time, that connection was broke. Can we understand that? How many of you have lost a loved one? That's the closest we will ever get to it. Because when that loved one dies, that separation we feel, that's the separation. There's no more connectedness. They're gone. That's the closest we'll get. And how sorrowful is that? How much mourning do we go through when someone dies? I've seen people, and I know you have too, that are completely destroyed by a spouse passing. And we need to understand that we walk in a victory because of that. That's the death Christ paid, that we may live forever. But there is a death coming to others that also lasts forever. And we cannot afford to let that happen to our friends, to our family, to our loved ones. We have a message to tell to the nations. You know, we sing the songs. How many of us love to sing the songs? But those songs tell us we have a work to do, don't we? And in that, may we be the church and understand this stuff that has already happened, it's coming again, but it's even worse. How many of you have read the book of Revelation? Have you seen all the stuff that's coming? How many of you understand all of it? There shouldn't be a hand in the air, because I'll guarantee you, the theologians still don't know what it all means. Because it is extraordinary. But we know it's coming. And our warning was given to us long ago. And now it's here again. And God goes on. He says to us from verse 15. Because this is not just for those who are reaping and here in the United States. And, you know, I don't want anybody to think I'm talking about just the United States. I'm talking about the world. Because the kingdom of God has blessed the world. It says, for the day of the Lord draws near on all the nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will return to your own head. Because just as you drank on my holy mountain, all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and swallow and become as if they never existed. Does anybody have any idea what's being talked about there? What do you mean they drank on your holy mountain and they will be drinking continually? They will drink and swallow. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Keep a finger there because we're coming back. But turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. And I want you to go to chapter 18. I want you to go to chapter 18. In chapter 18, we understand that what is being spoken of is this very reality, because there is a false church out there, and that is Babylon, this prostitute that has come up and come through, and it imposes to be the church of Jesus Christ, and her iniquities are great, but many align with her, and this is what the word says. After these things, in chapter 18 from verse 1, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons, and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her, to the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously to the same degree, give her torment and mourning, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. Blessed be the word of our Lord. The cup that is being spoken of here is the cup of judgment. It is the cup of the coming pending judgment of God upon those who have come against the kingdom of God, the peoples of God throughout the world. That's why it talks about nations. And we have to understand that as these nations go, there is great wealth. What drives our world? There are three powers that drive our world. Does anybody know what they are? Money, power, and sex. Those are the three things that run our world. And those three things are the iniquity that will take these very people down. And what they have done will be poured out upon them double fold. And that's why God has such regulation to those of us who are in him about these things. You know, he tells us in the church, don't lord it over those who are put under you, right? We need to lift folks up in the church. You know, I have to laugh because I just had a conversation here the other day. You know, in the corporate world, everybody tells you what to do. And if you don't do what your upper management tells you to do, you can lose your job. And the amazing thing is, those very people that told you what to do, when you do what they told you to do and it doesn't work, who gets in trouble? Isn't it amazing? But in the church, it's supposed to be different. We have a pastor, we have elders, we have deacons, and then we have our congregation. Who does the work? The congregation, the deacons, the elders, and then the pastor. You know, I think it's funny because for a lot of years, the church wanted the pastor to do everything. Wrong chicken. Not in this place. I can only do so much. I'm one man. And I'm broken too. It comes down to the congregation. It comes down to you folks. I think it's funny. How many of you realize, you know, and you all do it, and it, well, not all of you, but many of you have. People come up to pastor and say, oh, pastor, you know, I have this wonderful idea. We need to blah, 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 blah. And I'll look at them and I'll say, oh, man, that's awesome. Do that. What? I said, well, you said we, so I'm assuming you have a team. Well, I thought you would do this. No, that's not what you said. You said, I have an idea that we could do this. So you must have a team, and if you don't, then you need to put one together. Because you see, it's not for pastor to do. It's for the church to do, us. And it runs from the bottom to the top. The leadership teaches, equips, prepares, and you get to be the church. Do you understand that? You get, did you just hear what I said? People don't get it. You get to be that you have the privilege of God working through you. I mean, that fires me up because that's what he does with me. I get the privilege of God working through me to bring these messages, to sit and study. And it so amazes me because, you know, I think about the blessings from the amount of hours that I spend studying that people, you know, you folks, you'll come to me, some of you have come to me weeks after, and you'll say, oh my goodness, Pastor Rich, you know that sermon you preached 3 weeks ago? And I'm like, remind me, what did I preach 3 weeks ago? And it's like, oh, it came to life to me just this week. You said dot, dot, dot. And, oh, guess what happened? And I'll look at him and say, I don't know, dot, dot, dot. And I said, yeah. I said, that's the God we all live and serve. It's his words, not mine. Don't think I'm that good. I ain't. You know, my wife's not here. I'd tell you to ask her. She knows me. She's tolerated me for 41 years, Miss Susan. She's a saint. And it just amazes me when we understand what's coming against these people. They have drank of the iniquities. They have poured this stuff out, and they think they're succeeding. You know, they have this high and lofty mind to themselves, and they don't understand what is coming upon them. But we do. We do. And we need to be a light into this dark world, taking God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit out among them and showing them that God wants to love them, which is a right way of doing things, and loving others, not abusing others. How much of our world abuses other people? You know, I think about this in the corporate world a lot. People are just pegs in a board, okay? You know, I had an employer at one time who literally told me, I can replace you tomorrow. And back in the 80s, you could replace a machinist tomorrow. But you can't replace a machinist today because they're not out there. How many of you realize where our world is? How many electricians do we actually have? How many plumbers do we actually have? How many professional welders do we actually have? You know, you need to think there's a time coming when we're not going to be able to just fill people in because they don't know how to be. And that is all going to cause a bunch of this stuff to fall down. God is already beginning to set the upper echelon up for that failure. But in that failure, then we also see how it's affecting all of us. I just watched a program 2 days ago, and I did not realize this, but do you know since they started using computers in school to teach our children, the cognitive scaling of our children has dropped 42%. 42% cognitive depression in our children because they can't think critically because a computer does it for them. But without that computer, they have no idea how to exist. What's going to happen if the grid goes down? You know, people are like, well, yeah, come on, Pastor. Do you really think that's going to happen? Have you read that book? You better read that book. You better read that book because it is coming. Darkness is coming. And when it does, where are people going to go? They're going to come to the church. Who's prepared? Who's prepared? We are. We know what's coming. We are prepared. But guess what's going to happen when they come to us? Some of you are getting what I'm saying. We ain't going to be here, people. The good Lord is going to take us out of here. That's called the rapture. When that day happens, when that darkness is revealed, they're going to look for the church and the church is not going to be there. So what do you think is going to happen to the people in that day? Their iniquity is going to impound upon them, just as we read in the book of Revelation, just as we read here in the book of Obadiah. And it's going to be a horrendous thing. It is a horrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. I think there was a minister that preached that about 200 years ago. And we need to understand that that is a truth and that we have the hope of all mankind. And that hope is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, you know, I look at this stuff, and we're going to finish up here, but I look at this stuff, and I think to myself, what is the hope? Why is the Obadiah, you know, oh my goodness, it's like there's no hope here. There is hope because we know the rest of the story. So let's finish the story of Obadiah from verse 17. But on Mount Zion, there will be those who escape. And it will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess, will put, yeah, bah. And the house of Jacob will possess their possessions, and the house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. But the house of Esau will be as stubble, and they will set them on fire and consume them, so that there will be no survivor of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. And those of the Negev will possess the mountain of Esau, and those of Cephala, the Palestinian plain, also possesses the territory of Ephraim and the territory of Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead, and the exiles of the host of the sons of Israel, who are among the Canaanites as far as Zephirath, and the exiles of Jerusalem who are in Shephard, will possess the cities of the Negev. The deliverers will ascend Mount Zion, the judge to judge the mountain of Esau, as the kingdom will be the Lord's. What is that talking about? Brothers and sisters, just as God there is saying, Esau, you're going to be destroyed, but I'm going to raise up Israel. We all know that this world is going to be destroyed, but God is going to come back and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years and we will be with him. Can I get an amen out of somebody in the house? And we also need to remember that we're told in the book of Revelation that when we are taken out, there will be those who believe during the time of the tribulation. But what will happen to those people who believe during the time of the tribulation? They will be beheaded. They are going to go through a horrible time, but they will survive as they become part of the kingdom of God. And it's understanding that they will be in heaven with us, but they will serve us because they did not believe in the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. But without the Holy Spirit here, they held on to life. I'm hollering so much, I'm getting hoarse up here. Pardon my loud voice. But I have a message to tell the nations. And that's what I want us to do. It's understanding. You know, we just read in the book of Revelation where the angel said, come out of her. And that's exactly what this just told us, that there are going to be those who, once this starts, they're going to come out. And we need to understand that, and we need to pray and be prepared for that. How many of you remember me saying, you know, I'm going to put little notes around the house telling people about Jesus? You know, it's like, well, Pastor, you ought to have them up now. Yeah, I should, because I have no idea when he's going to rapture us out of here. Because when I'm gone, they can have it all. But I want them to know where I got it and why I was prepared. Because where is the first place? What is going to be the fullest building in the town the day after the rapture? The church will be full beyond all measure, and they're going to be standing up front looking for Pastor Rich, and I ain't going to be here, neither are you. Can I get an amen and an hallelujah out of the church? Because that's the truth. They're going to be looking for us, and we ain't here because we're not the ones they're supposed to be looking for. They need to be looking to the one who paid it all on the cross of Calvary. Can I get an amen? And maybe in that day they'll get it right. Maybe they'll figure it out finally. But even if they do, it's going to cost them. So this is the day of salvation. That's why the book of Obadiah was written, to teach Esau, get it right with him, get it right now. God is always a God of forgiveness no matter what. No matter how hard things are going, no matter what's going on in your life, God will never let go. He will never let you alone. Because even if you choose to reject him, you'll stand before him and he'll say, I'll give you exactly what you ask for. And he does not send anybody to hell, but we choose to go there of our own accord. That's something we all need to wrap our heads around. God is a God of honor and love. If you love him and choose him, you get to be with him. If you love him and choose not him, he gives you that too. He does not force you to go to heaven. Did you hear what I just said? He does not force you to go to heaven. But he will let you go to hell. And many of our world is choosing to go to hell. But when we come into the kingdom, we will possess all the land. Just as it says here, we will possess all the land. And for 1,000 years, we'll rule and reign with Christ. And that's what that's speaking. God's kingdom survives because God is good. We have a message to tell to the nations, which I think is funny because, you know, y'all know I don't tell Miss Susan what she's supposed to play, right? I don't tell Miss Susan at all what she's supposed to play. But boy, this Sunday, I was that close to calling her and saying, can you change that last song to We Have a Message to Tell to the Nations? And I thought, no, I won't do that because it's not right. Because we do have a message to tell to the nations. We know these words. And I hope through your understanding that you've come to see with me that God prophesied this stuff long ago. It's already happened. And it's going to come again, but it's going to come on a worldwide scale. And as we understand, you know, this is one of the smallest, but he's called a minor prophet. Do you realize he just preached a very important doctrine of revelation in one chapter, 27 verses. 21 verses. Here's a man who knows how to talk and get a point across. Are we listening? Are we listening? Pray with me this day. Father God, we thank you for your holy word. We look at some of these books in our Bible, Lord, and we often wonder, you know, boy, that's not very long. I wonder why you even put it in there. Well, now we understand some of the why, having gone through these four very short books, because they are packed with doctrine, theology, and future. And you speak directly to our hearts in them and through them. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you. And in it, I pray we have understood that even one word can change a life. So as we look to our word, Lord, the Bible, may we revere every word that is given to us. And may we live by them that we may have life and life abundant. Father, we pray for our world and we ask, Lord, that you would use us to be a light pointing to the truth of this future, the hope of Jesus Christ, or the darkness of separation. And may our hearers choose wisely. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.